Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
Stories from the Other Side of Midnight, Volume 3, Story 1. I worked as a dispatcher at a MedStat ambulance company in Erie, Pennsylvania. Since I worked there, I'd heard many stories of how the building was haunted. One paramedic said that she saw a man standing by the main second-story picture window by the bed in which she was laying one night. The man stood there with his back towards her, and then he just dissolved. People have heard noises and other strange things. I've been up all night in the dispatch office many, many times, and I had never experienced anything odd or strange until one day. I was working the midnight to 8 shift when about 3 in the morning I started hearing the door downstairs open and close violently. Then I heard something being thrown around. I ignored it for a while, but I heard the noises again, so I investigated. I went downstairs, opened the door, and turned on the light. Nothing was there, nothing out of place. I looked around for a while and then went back upstairs. As soon as I closed the door to the garage, the door slammed again, and the rustling started once more. I just went back upstairs and tried to ignore it. The noises continued for a while, and then a new sound started. Someone was coming up the stairs next to the dispatch office. I waited for the door to open, but it didn't. This time, I did not have enough guts to investigate. I just kept on working at my paperwork and tried to ignore it. This happened again and again. About an hour later, I decided to sit on the floor and read, and as soon as I hit the floor, I heard a distinct breathing, a heavy, whispery breathing. At first, I thought that it might be the wind, but it definitely was not. It was breathing. Needless to say, I got back into my chair. After a few minutes, I went to the bathroom, and when I sat down on the toilet, the doorknobs shook violently back and forth. I've been around some strange stuff, but this was weird. I never felt a presence per se, but I knew what I experienced was not natural. Story number 2. This took place in the summer of 2007. I was driving in southern New Jersey, most likely Cumberland County. I was out with my girlfriend at the time, and we always went on exploration and adventures together. Typical New Jersey fashion, we just drove around aimlessly near the Pine Barrens, which is a large area of pine forest that takes up a lot of South Jersey. We would always joke about trying to find the Jersey Devil, which was a mythological creature of Jersey folklore. Basically, you just drove around pointing out shadows and trying to scare your girlfriend. Yeah, typical boy stuff. Anyway, as we were driving along at probably 2 a.m., we had a large section of forest surrounding us on a lonely road. We were the only car for miles, but there were a few houses here and there. As we drove, I remember seeing movement to the right of the vehicle, from the front illuminated by the headlights, but to the right of the car. As I drove by, there was a creature standing at about 3 to 5 feet in height. It seemed to be covered in brown hair, almost like a goat's. It had black wings that appeared to be leathery or smooth. I did not see a head, face, or anything else distinguishable. As we approached maybe a distance of 10 to 20 yards, the creature flapped its wings a few times and took off vertically, not at an angle like a plane or a bird takes off. It then disappeared as we drove past. The whole incident took maybe 3 to 5 seconds. I almost discounted it as a hallucination induced by lack of sleep or something, but my girlfriend interrupted my thought process by saying, "Did you see that?" Without hesitation, we pulled over and bailed out of the car with a flashlight. There was nothing. We looked and listened for a few minutes, but couldn't find anything. We then stopped to Google all the wildlife of New Jersey to see if we could find what we saw. No animal appeared close to what we observed. Now, I will end my story by stating, I don't know what we saw that evening. I will make no assumptions. I just saw a creature I could not identify in the short time that it was observed. Now, I'm a lawman, and I've seen some strange and crazy things in my time on the streets. But this is definitely the creepiest. I've never seen anything like that since, but lots of other people in New Jersey have reported similar sightings. Story number 3. My family has a history of paranormal experiences. My maternal grandparents' house has what I would call a poltergeist, but I'm not really sure. My grandfather calls it Herbie, and all it seems to do is like to knock on the walls and the doors on occasion. My paternal grandmother lived in coal mining Kentucky for a while. It's where my dad was born. They even lived in a company town, which I loved to hear about when I was little. But a friend of my grandparents, who worked in a mine with my grandfather, was there when there was a cave-in. A few weeks after the funeral, the friend knocked on the door. My grandmother answered the door and fainted when she saw who it was, being a good Southern lady. Later, in a mass sighting, I guess, the friend showed up at a church meeting, where most of the town met, dressed in the torn rags he had been dressed in when the cave collapsed. Also, one of my aunts lived with my grandmother until she died. When she turned the room into her own little library years or so later, she was reading one night, and she looked up and saw my grandmother sitting in a chair across from her sewing. She even spoke, said my aunt, saying, "Go on reading, honey." When I was 19 years old, I'd lived in 3 houses up to that time. The first house we lived in had a ghost cow. Don't laugh. We lived next to a dairy farm, and every once in a while my parents would see a cow out in the yard. At first, they would think that the cow had gotten loose from the farm, and they would go out to chase it back into the pasture. But it wouldn't be there when they got outside, and they would find no hoof prints. Cows leave obvious tracks, in case you don't know. We moved when I was about 4 to a house in a subdivision. Here was my real first encounter with a ghost, only I didn't know it at the time. There was a little girl that I played with, but since my mother never saw her, she thought the girl was my imaginary friend. However, she finally saw her one day when Mom was working in the garden and I was in the backyard playing with a girl. I went in to get something, and Mom said, a couple of seconds later, she turned around and the girl wasn't there. Thinking that the girl might have gone next door where they were building another house, she went looking but never could find her. When I came back out, my mom said the girl had gone home. Mom said she didn't think about it again until 3 years later, when she saw the same girl wearing the same clothes she had been wearing when she played with me, playing with my other little sister. She went out onto the deck to look at the girl. As she came out the door, the girl looked right at my mom, and Mom says she could see through the girl. Mom called to April, my sister, and when she did, the girl disappeared. When I was about 11 or 12, we moved into the house I lived in until I came to school. The first incidents in this house came a couple of days after we had settled in. My dad, our dog Molly, and I were sitting in the basement TV room watching a baseball game when all our attention were drawn to something moving past the door in the basement. I didn't know what it was, but I just remembered it being big and red. But Dad swears it was some lady wearing a white satin gown. Whatever it was, Molly saw it too and went out into the basement barking. I went out a couple of seconds later, and like the dog, I couldn't find anything or anybody. Our ghosts in that house also liked to move things. Food disappeared out of the refrigerator and then reappeared. One time, I had lost my keys where I knew I had put them on the counter. I was home alone for the weekend. I looked right at the place where they had been, and they weren't there. 5 minutes later, I found them right where I had just looked. Then there's the cat. The room I sleep in at home used to be my sister's room. She had been begging for a trade for a long time, so I finally digressed and let her have my old room. I thought that it had been because she just wanted the bigger room. But once in a while, I'll wake up in the middle of the night, look up at the bookcase, and see a pair of cat eyes looking at me. I sleep with the door and windows closed, so there's no way for a cat to get in and no light for the eyes to reflect. Plus, if you're in the house alone, you can every once in a while look up from where you are and find a cat, it's a black cat, sitting somewhere staring at you. I'm sure my sister's seen it, although she won't say anything. And my mother's seen it a couple of times, and my dog has even taken off chasing it. That's a strange thing. We have 3 cats, none of them black, and the dog doesn't chase any of them. The final occurrence came one Christmas. I was there for break, and my parents and sisters had gone to relatives' house for New Year's. So I was home alone, the night before New Year's. It was about 2 in the morning, and I was in my bedroom, reading or watching TV or both. I don't really remember, but I heard somebody coming up the stairs. Coughing in fear, taking hold of my system, the first thought was burglar. I picked up a baseball bat and stood just hidden inside my room, ready to take the head off an unexpected bad guy. As soon as it got to the top of the stairs, and the steps came up slowly like somebody sneaking, I heard something run down the stairs, and I mean run. Big heavy steps, coming in quick succession. When I heard them coming up the stairs again, I went out into the hall, hidden by the darkness. I couldn't see anything. The steps had stopped when I came out the door, but they started up again. I turned on the light, and the steps stopped, and there was nothing there. It was then I decided I had enough of ghosts for that night, so I got in the car and drove around for about 8 hours, something hard to do in a small town. The strangest thing, I left my TV lights, hall lights, and stuff on, because the chicken in me had taken over, and I just left. However, when I got there, everything was off. That night, I went to a New Year's party and stayed the night at my friend's house, even if I wasn't too drunk to drive. Even now, when I go home, I get really weird feelings when I'm in a room, especially the basement, alone at night. I guess that's the way things are for my family. So far, I've not seen any other ghosts here at school, although they say there are a couple. If they're here, I'm pretty sure they'll find me somehow. Next story. I worked in a very historic structure in downtown Tacoma. Everyone who worked there for long had some very interesting stories. I worked there for 2 years and ended up with a few of my own. This one began as a ghost hunt to scare my kids on Halloween. They were about 13 or 15 or so. I got special permission from the building manager to come in and do this, and in my job I had access to the entire building, so I was able to show them the old sub-basements and other interesting things. Well, on the way there, I started getting a really bad feeling, as if this was a really bad idea. However, being the kind of guy I am, I was not going to be the one to chicken out. By the time we got to the building, my hackles were up, and I had goosebumps, and wasn't really wanting to turn around and go someplace else. But I didn't. We pushed on, and my wife told me in private that she shared my gut feelings. And like I said, my wife knows things. We went through the building with 2 digital cameras and a digital voice recorder and took pictures and asked questions with the recorder running to get EVPs if possible. At any rate, when we got to the sub-basement that were 30 feet under the street out front, we got some very interesting pictures with tons of orbs in each one. I know orbs can be a lot of things, but it was odd we got them on both cameras. So anyhow, one of the buildings I worked in, and I should mention they were connected by a sky bridge, was a big open structure 6 stories tall with an elevator shaft running up the middle with landings on each floor. If you look down from the top balcony, the tiles on the ground floor make a big medicine wheel. We got some incredible orb pics looking down into the space as well. Several people over the years had jumped from this landing, and a couple claimed to have been pushed, or so the story went. Anyhow, we got some incredible orb pics, but only here and there and always in places that I always felt creepy and in which I had experienced things as well. In a space, I had been checking the fire system risers and recording the pressures. I had been writing them down and suddenly got flicked hard on the ear, like we used to do as kids. But I turned around kind of angry, and there was nobody there. I left in short order and could not get out of there fast enough. Anyhow, we got some very interesting pics and audios in this space. Anyhow, I showed my pics to a few folks in the building, and the building manager got wind of it. The guy seemed mad at me, and I thought it made a pretty interesting history, and he came around to my way of thinking. He asked me to show him where I'd gotten the orb pictures and the audio. Went down to the sub-basement, and I showed him the room. He took me into the corner of the space and showed me a small, boarded-up place in the concrete of the lower levels of the building, and showed me that when I put my hand down there, there was air movement, and said he always wondered if there was a void behind these obviously very old boards. Being the building maintenance guy, I told him if he wanted to open it up, I would gladly patch it up again. He agreed and we opened it up in short order to reveal a hole chipped into the concrete that was about 18 inches by 7 inches or so. Being totally intrigued, I went back upstairs to grab a flashlight and check it out. When we stuck our head in the hole, we found a hand-dug tunnel like the tunnels in Vietnam that went about 30 feet and turned to the right. The hole was just big enough to stick our head into it and get a couple of pics. Up on the landing on the 5th floor of the other building, We got an audio voice saying, sorry, didn't want to kill you. Or at least, that's what it sounded like to us. Anyhow, for starting out something to scare the kids, it ended up scaring the hell out of us instead. Next story. I would say that it started about 3 months ago. Little things that you wouldn't expect. For instance, the doors are always closing, even when there's no wind. If you open a door somewhere else in my house, a door would close. Also, almost every night, you can hear a car coming in the driveway, but every time I go out to see who it's there's no car. I know it was my driveway because we live in a small subdivision, and my house is the only one that has gravel in it. There was always bumps and creaks coming from the side of the house. At first, I thought it was just a raccoon, but after it continued every night, I began to get a little worried. Probably the most spooky thing, though, is the fact that every time I'm downstairs, all alone in the house, I hear people upstairs. People walking and talking. I go upstairs, my heart's pounding, because I know there's no one else in the house to see or what it is. The upstairs is always empty. Also, I told you about the closing doors. Well, downstairs, we have a small wall fan that you can turn on by a little latch in the back. Anyway, you usually don't want to close that downstairs door, because when you do, the fan automatically comes on. This happened a couple of days ago. The door suddenly closed and I could hear the fan come on. I went downstairs to turn it off, but stopped dead in my tracks when the fan was on and the dial said off. This might be just my imagination. Maybe I'm just paranoid, but when I'm alone in my house, I feel an eerie presence all around me, something I never felt or feel when my family's home, or if I'm out with my friends. This coldness and strange thoughts come into my mind. It could be bright daylight, little kids running around in the neighbor's backyard, and I could be sitting on the couch, eyes not moving, scared to breathe, feeling the presence I told you about earlier. I told my best friend about it. She was a little shook up, but then she reassured me it was all just a figment of my imagination. But is it? As I said before, this is probably just my imagination playing games with my good judgment. Also, no one else in my house ever had a problem with anything. But even as I'm writing this, the door has just closed about 5 seconds ago. There's no one in the house but me, and the fan just turned on. People call me crazy, but I know what I see and hear. There is a presence in this house that I'm not sure of what it is or who it is. I'm not sure if I truly want to know. Next story. This happened a few days before Christmas back in the late 1990s. I was driving from Raton to central New Mexico on I-25. It was bitterly cold, windy, and a light snow was blowing across the freeway. My truck was one of the few vehicles on the road in the late afternoon. I pulled into one of those very central roadside rest areas, the ones with just a few trash cans and a pullout. A trucker was the only one there. As I drove up, he was putting something into a garbage can, and he looked both startled and angry when he saw me. When I parked about 20 yards behind him and got out, he looked completely enraged. As soon as he dumped the stuff into the trash can, he started toward me, first at a walk, then almost running straight at me. It all happened so suddenly and unexpectedly that I barely had time to react. I opened my car door, and my two large German Shepherds jumped out. The man stopped in his tracks, made a furious face, turned around and climbed into his rig. I didn't even let the dog stay long enough to pee, but jumped back in my truck and took off down the highway. Due to my work and training, I've depended on my innate sense of danger, and I truly felt it from him. From the second I saw him, I knew there was something very wrong. A voice inside my head was screaming at me to get out of there from the time I saw him. It took an hour to get the adrenaline out of my system, and I watched the rearview mirror for a long time, driving home on that empty road. Next story. I'm submitting a story related to me by my grandmother back in the 1950s, long before I was around. My grandparents, who lived in suburban Chicago, were driving to dinner along a tree-lined two-lane road. It was a dark, clear winter evening. As they drove, my grandfather noticed a man walking slowly along the side of the road in gray clothing. As they approached, my grandmother noticed his clothes appeared to be that of a Civil War soldier, complete with hat and markings. There were no enactments going on, especially in the dead of winter, where he could have come from. As they came closer, the man looked over his shoulder, stared them both in the face, and the car sped past. Upon looking back, they said they only saw him for a brief second before darkness engulfed him. That, or he disappeared. Curious and spooked, my grandfather turned the car around almost immediately and they drove back, but the man in gray was nowhere to be found. 25 years later, I was spending an afternoon with a Chicago area ghost hunter on a video documentary shoot. As we traveled around Chicago filming haunted locations, I told him of this experience my grandmother told me about. He said others reported seeing the Civil War ghost as well, and upon doing research, he discovered that there was a prisoner camp in the area during the Civil War. Now, this is a second-hand story, and I've had not the opportunity to investigate it myself. But the story, which was told with such conviction and corroborated 25 years later, has to make you stop and wonder. Next story. My family owns a cabin on roughly 700 acres in central Pennsylvania. Very secluded, 50 miles from any town, no electric, nearest cabin is 5 miles away. There's been many a strange occurrence there, but a few are the reason I can't stay there alone. About 12 years ago, our usual hunting party arrived for opening week of firearms deer season. I remember it was very warm weather for late November. I mean 60 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. So we had all the doors, windows open with just screens shut. My uncle was laying on a couch nearest the front door, and I was in a chair beside him, and it was around 11 p.m. Now, it's pitch black outside, and the cabin's propane lights only light up so much. Being younger, I almost always had an uneasy feeling, especially at night. With the doors open, it was much worse. I asked my uncle if we could close the door, and he agreed that he suddenly didn't like it either. About the time he went to stand, we both became aware of a figure at the screen door. Standing there was a man in full camo carrying a compound. Shocked, my uncle said, "Who the hell are you?" and went for a rifle. The man said nothing and slipped into the darkness as suddenly as he appeared. We quickly looked outside with flashlights, but couldn't see him, so we shut and locked everything. And my 6'6", 300-pound retired USMC uncle sat up with his rifle all night. Well, about a week later, we read in a newspaper of a man found dead in the woods about 5 miles from our camp. He was dressed in full camo and had 2 .22 caliber rounds in his forehead. It was ruled a suicide, but that's hard to believe with 2 headshots. So now he's buried in a small cemetery on the mountain, 5 miles from camp, and it still creeps us out every time we drive by there. Next story. I've always had an open mind about ghosts, etc., but had no real experience of them, apart from seeing a figure dressed in 17th century farm clothing in wide open Sussex countryside until a couple of years ago. I was in Diggs sharing a house with a colleague who was and is a good friend. She divorced her husband, and after he moved out, I moved in on a strictly business nature, as part of the deal was that I babysat for her son while she built up some kind of social life again. It was a good deal, as I had been going through an awkward patch myself, and I had 2 rooms at the back of the house for my use. The husband died about 3 months after I moved in, and though it was obviously a troubled time, there was no hint of anything amiss until about a year later. I had been out that evening, and after returning, sat up watching the night TV. Always an insomniac, this sometimes forces me to bed and eventually turned in sometime after 2 a.m. I didn't sleep at all well, getting more and more nervous as the night grew old. I was also very cold, and my landlady had an awesome use of central heating, starting to shiver. Finally, I was so cold I couldn't move, but it wasn't just that. I was scared rigid. I've led a varied life, had a few close scrapes, but I've never had the terrors like this. The sensation in the room was one of pure hatred. Whatever it was seemed to be in the corner of the room, between the window and a built-in wardrobe. There was nothing to see but plenty to sense. The room itself became much colder, and with it the sense of loathing and malevolence grew more intense. It wanted me out of there, and wasn't worried about how. I was so scared I couldn't even shout out. In fact, I was finding it very hard to breathe under the weight of this malignity. After a while, I've no notion of a timescale for this, the atmosphere began to lighten and eventually faded away completely. The room warmed up and eventually did I. Not that I stayed in there for the rest of the night. A couple of months later, my landlady, happily back in the swing of things, she wanted the room back. I didn't argue the loss. Neither did I tell her what occurred that night and my thoughts on the matter, but they were best left unsaid. On a happier note, I now live in a pleasant little cul-de-sac by the River Thames. Being well lit, I've no qualms about walking down the center of the road, which I was doing the other evening on a breezy summer night, when I walked into the scent of a cigar. It was such a nice smell that I stopped and breathed in deeply before walking on. You know you sometimes get a feeling of weirdness? I'd gone on another 20 feet or so before it dawned on me that the smell hadn't dissipated in the wind while I inhaled it. So I walked back to where I originally stopped. The smell of cigar, good quality cigar, was still there, just in this one spot. I walked through it, around it, and stood in it. At a boundary, a couple of steps in any direction, and no smell. I searched the ground for butts, manhole covers. No one was up, no house lights were on, and if I moved away, no smell. Puzzled, I walked a long way off and then came back. Still there. Not there in the morning, though, as I went to work. The funny thing is, it was such a friendly, homely smell, I couldn't help but smile when breathing it in. Yes, I know what it sounds like. No terrorist was this at all, unlike that other experience. Next story. Back in about 1971 or 1970, seven of us went camping, well, really partying up in northern Minnesota on one of the guys' lakeshore properties. It was a small lake, only about four cabins scattered around, and they were planning to build a cabin there the following summer. The land had been bulldozed and cleared, and this was in the early spring during Easter break. There was still snow on the ground, but it was melting, and rained most of the days we camped there in tents. A small stream slowly brought the runoff down to the lake, about 50 yards. It ran right alongside where tents were staked. On our last morning there, I was the first one awake at about 5 a.m., as I crawled out of my tent, my hands were coated in black mud from the wet ground. I walked over to the stream to wash them, and there in front of my face was a fresh track in the shallow water. The slow-moving water was just at that moment breaking up the edges of the track, so I knew it was fresh, probably made within a few minutes. The hair on my neck sprang up instinctively. That's the first time that's ever happened to me, and I thought it was strange. It looked just like the Bigfoot tracks you see pictures of, human-looking only, huge. I was thinking to myself, who would be walking around in these temperatures barefoot? The track was leading away from my tent, and as I looked around, I couldn't see any other tracks leading to or away from it. So whatever it was, had a huge stride to come down about a 5-foot bank on each side of the stream without leaving any other tracks, not even a slide mark. The track was right in the middle. As the other guys gradually woke up, we packed up. I asked them if anyone had been down there, and they all said they hadn't. None of us had feet that big or a stride that long. Back then, I was more of a skeptic, thinking that if they existed, it would be more on the West Coast and the Pacific Northwest area. I thought maybe a demented hillbilly or hermit, which, knowing what I know now, is maybe even more scarier. Next story. I was in the fourth grade when things started getting weird at my best friend's house. After they had their attic made into two bedrooms is when things started happening. It started off with just a few loud bumps from behind the walls where a long crawl space was before. It had been closed off by the guys who were hired to work on the house. We'd been back there before, and it did go behind the walls. After the bumps and thuds, there would be loud crashes and knocking. That seemed unusual, but it wasn't really all that scary. In the fifth grade, nothing strange really ever happened. But in the sixth grade, I think I saw a ghost. I used to ride my bike to my friend's house and sit out in the driveway until she came out. Then we would ride our bikes to school. One particular morning, I was standing in the driveway and I glanced up at the window that faced over the driveway, the window in my friend's room. It was dark, no lights on, when all of a sudden, the lights were on, and there was a figure in the window. It was wrapped in a towel, a yellow towel. I could only see one eye, none of the other facial features that were supposed to be there. It had dark hair that was greased up into a spike. I just stared at it until the lights went out and it disappeared. I know it wasn't my friend because 2 minutes later she was outside and all ready for school. No hair. In the 7th grade, she and her mom didn't live there, only her dad did. But then he moved elsewhere and they moved back into the house the summer before 8th grade. I never really went over there that much, but when I would spend the night, freaky stuff would happen. One night we were sitting upstairs talking when we heard crying. Loud crying. It was coming from the stairs. Then one time I was staying at her house for a week. I was upstairs in the guest room, which was now her room because she had switched rooms, and I was listening to Nirvana while she was downstairs taking a bath. All of a sudden, the CD started to skip. A little at first, but then a whole lot. It had never done that before. Then I heard footsteps on the stairs. Really heavy ones, like someone was banging them down purposely. I ran out there, and there was no one there. So I ran downstairs and watched TV with her mom. The last incident happened in May of 1995. We had gone to her house right after school, and we were sitting downstairs doing our homework. We were quietly working when we heard singing. It was coming from upstairs, kind of opera-like. We were the only people there. We looked at each other, gathered up our stuff, and walked to my house. I believe that spirits were there. Some good, some evil. A lot of other things happened up in those two rooms, but there's just too much to talk about now. For one thing, it was always freezing cold upstairs. In the summer, winter, fall, spring, no matter what season, no matter how high the heat was, it was always bitter cold. She and her mom moved to Nevada in the summer, and now their house, they're supposedly haunted also. But so far as what happened here, that was everything. My friend believes that there's a poltergeist in the old woman doll that her mother owns. But that only plays a small part in everything.